He's coming. You defile his bower with your presence, and now he comes to claim you himself. You should run while you can. Run away, little man. Run! Run! He grabbed hold of my arm, and we tussled for a second, lurching back and forth in the water. I thought he was going for my knife at first, but he was just trying to get away. Then there was a sound, like many seed pods bursting open. A tide of sap-like effluvia rushed out of the dark, bearing dozens of small, mummified forms across the water. I looked down at them, at their faces contorted by death into leathery masks. All had been sucked dry, reduced to compact husks, their chest cavities split and emptied. Harvested, their blood and life taken to feed whatever slumbered beneath the waters here. Fulder cackled.
You see, this is what awaits those he marks. Soon you will sleep beneath the mud.
Something tangled my leg, and I fell heavily among the dead, the water slopping around my chest and chin. I kept hold of my knife, though. Fulder splashed past me, calling out to the dark, hands raised in supplication. I managed to get upright just as he reached the far edge of the glade.
Fulder, I snarled. I didn't know what I was going to do.
His name died on my lips when the thing he was calling lurched into the open. From a distance, it resembled a stag. A big, black beast, taller than a man, its crown of antlers rising up and vanishing into the shadowed boughs above. But in the soft radiance, I could see that its hide was shaggy with moss, and there were knotholes in its flanks. Leopard eels gambolled in the frothing waters at its hooves, hissing and singing as if in rapturous celebration. Its face was the worst of it, like someone had tried to carve a man's features out of a rotten log and stopped halfway. Its mouth was nothing more than a splintered crack, stretching from the width of its overlarge skull. Its eyes wept rivulets of dark sap, and more glistened on the cracks in its limbs and body. As it splashed into the light, I saw that there were faces of green moss sprouting from the shoulders and chest. The faces seemed to flex and writhe in the radiance of the haglights, as if they were crying out in pain. When it spoke, its voice was a single black note. I felt my ears pop, and I slumped back against the tree, cradling my head. The note echoed outwards, setting the boughs to nodding and the waters to swirling. I felt it in my bones, and my stomach twisted in protest. Fulder cried out, as if in ecstasy. Head bowed, he fell to his knees in the water, which lapped at his shoulders and neck. The stag thing bent down over the kneeling man, and its jaws unfurled. And then there was a crunching sound, and what was left of Fulder sank beneath the water, out of sight with the rest of the dead. Haglight eyes rolled in their sockets and came to rest on me, standing among the dead oaks. I turned and ran. I heard a shrill cry, and then the splash of heavy hooves as it pursued. Again came the winding cry, like that of a rutting stag, or a hunter's horn, or a wolf's howl, or maybe all three. The glade shook with the thunder of its passing, and I cast about, looking for a place to hide. I felt the wash of its rancid breath roll over me, and I gagged. Even as I ran, I wondered why it had killed Fulda. Maybe his talk of trespass within the thing's bower being forbidden had been truer than he suspected. Or maybe it was simply hungry. I ran on until my heart felt like a weight in my chest and my lungs strained. The water made it hard, made every step an effort. I stumbled, and something caught me. I dragged my knife from its sheath and slashed out. "Damn it, Haran, I'm just trying to help." "Gint." I staggered back, hands raised. I'd run all the way back somehow. Maybe it had let me go. Maybe the game was still going. "We have to get out of here," I said, panting. Deshla looked at me, her eyes wide.
"What is it? What did you see?"
My reply was interrupted by an ugly, wooden sound. A crossbow bolt sank into her back. Her mouth opened, but no sound came out. She toppled into the water, causing the skiff to rock. She was gone as quickly as that. Gint turned and fired his pistol. Out in the mist, someone screamed. More crossbows twanged in reply. Bolts thudded into the skiff and the trunks of nearby trees. I caught hold of him and rolled us off the skiff into the water. I flipped the skiff over as I surfaced, using it to cover us both.
"What are you doing?"
he spluttered.
"Trying to keep us breathing for a few more minutes. Come on."
Bolts punched through the skiff as we swam away from our attackers.
"Where are we going?"
Gint demanded.
"Away," I said. "Beyond that, I have no idea."
I flinched back as a bolt cracked through the wood, scraping my cheek.
"Keep moving."
"What did you see back there, in the glade?"
"That's not what you need to be worrying about."
"Answer the question."
"I don't know what it was. A Sylvaneth, maybe. Or something older."
I swallowed back a rush of bile at the memory of it.
"It killed Fulda."
"I guessed, given that he didn't come back with you." The skiff shuddered on our shoulders as bolts peppered it. Gint flinched with every one.
"This won't stop them for long. Do you have a plan?"
"You're the witch hunter, not me. Plans are your thing."
"I told you, I am not a bloody witch hunter. Damn it."
I turned. A bolt had nearly pierced his hand, and he swayed to the side, causing the skiff to spin with him. The mud beneath my feet gave way, and I slipped under the black water. When I surfaced, the skiff was floating away out of reach. Gint was cursing, floundering towards solid ground. With nowhere else to go, I followed him. He hauled himself up onto the grass and turned to help me up.
"I'm starting to think we need to get out of here," he panted. "Back to the city. I'll find help. I'll bring the wrath and storm of Sigmar himself down on this place."
He stood. There was a wet sound, and a length of steel emerged from his chest. His eyes widened. He toppled forward into the dark waters.
"Should have left, Haran," Sepesh said.
She smiled, and there was something that might have been regret in it.
"Too late now, though."
Chapter 25. Celebration. The cage was cramped, a cube of thick wooden bars held together by strips of shrunken leather. There was barely enough room for me to crouch and keep my head above the water. My cage was one of several sunk into the shallows, among the reeds and grasses below the rear of the manor. The other cages were empty. I was alone, save for the hum of insects and the faint music of the celebrants in the gardens above. I tensed my muscles, trying to head off the cramps I felt building in my arms and legs. My back already hurt, and my head was pounding. It was a constant effort to stay upright. The motion of the water caused the cage to rock slightly. I heard a creak and glanced up at the gibbets hanging from the branches above. A dozen of them, some occupied, some not. I recognized the pickpocket, Scoper, languishing in one. He didn't respond when I called out to him. There were other faces I recognized as well, from the Stag's Head. I suspected Pender had finally come to the end of his rope. I squinted through the mist and damp. The shallows ended at a broken wall of stone, the base of the island's original keep. There might have been a jetty there once. Now it was nothing more than a spillage of cut stone, mouldy and half-sunk in the waters. A makeshift bridge, crafted from slats of wood, extended across it from a gaping hole in the wall. Past the hole, I could see a set of slabbed steps rising upwards into the dark of the keep's lower levels. They'd dragged me down those steps, and I had a bruise for each. Behind me, the swamp waited. It was watching me. I could feel it. Faces in the swaying grasses, leers in the branches, laughing at me, enjoying my predicament. "Is this fun for you, then?" I said, turning to face the closest trees. "Is it a game? If so, I'd be obliged if you told me the rules." "Run fast, rabbit," Sepesh said from behind me. I turned back to the jetty. She stood on the steps, a slight smile on her face. "Those are the only rules around here. Run fast, earn a few hours more life. But no more than that. Not exactly fair. Take it up with the dead. We play by the rules they made centuries ago." She spat into the water. "Hunt and harvest." She peered about her. "They used to drown babies here. One at harvest time. An offering to the Treekin. Part of the old pact, or so his lordship says. And now you have a new one. That's life. Can't get something for nothing. Always got to give a bit, to get a bit." She pulled an apple from her jerkin and shined it on her sleeve. "If more people understood that, things would be a lot better. Or maybe there'd just be more dead children." She drew her knife and deftly began to peel the apple. "Maybe. Then again, peasants breed like rabbits. Always more where they came from. Spoken like true gentry everywhere." Sepesh smiled and sank to her haunches. She extended a slice of apple, impaled on the tip of her knife. My stomach gurgled, and I snatched it eagerly. It tasted sour, but I devoured it without hesitation. "Wolds are jade blood," she said. "That old-time religion runs through him. The Lady of Leaves and the Stag King, the Huntsman." "Yes, we've met," I said. I leaned against the bars of the cage. Sepesh gestured with her knife. "Lord Wald isn't a bad master, but he is the master. You understand?
I do. Either you serve him or you leave.
She paused and peered off into the swamp.
That goes for them out there, too.
Soon we'll burn their glades and scatter their seeds into the swamp.
Plant new groves to replace the old. They won't like that. They won't have much choice.
We have a god on our side.
His time is coming, and every living thing will have to pick a side.
You're either predator or prey.
She peered at me. Which are you?
I'll let you know when I figure it out.
She laughed and stood. Best be quick about it.
She whistled. Two guards ambled down the steps.
Get him out of there. His lordship wants to speak to him before we head out to the bower.
The bower, I said. She looked down at me.
Huntsman's bower. The Silverneth deprived us of our yearly offering. His lordship reckons you'll do for a replacement.
The guards dragged me from my cage none too gently. They weren't taking any chances. And I got a punch to the kidneys to keep me busy. Sepesh followed at a distance, her hand on her sword.
It's a shame, really, she continued. I was starting to like you.
I was starting to like you, too, I said. That earned me a blow to the head, and for the next few moments all I saw was stars. They cuffed and kicked me, keeping me moving. I countered every blow, intending to pay them back with interest. Lord Wald's guests watched with predatory eagerness as I was hauled through the garden. Despite their general lack of clothing, they had the look of gentry, well-fed, clean, healthy. They had a soft leanness to them, like pampered hounds. Many were covered in strange atavistic tattoos, not the knotwork patterns signifying growth and renewal that worshippers of the Lady of Leaves often bore, but more savage markings, signs of the hunt, of blood and fear. There were statues of Kurnoth scattered about the gardens, carved from living wood, much like the one in Lord Wald's library. But these were daubed with blood and offal, and each was wrought to represent a different aspect of the god. Kurnoth the Huntsman, man and beast conjoined in one form. Kurnoth the Killer, clad in iron oak armor and bearing a hunter's spear. Kurnoth the Seducer, clad in ivy and bearing a crown of stag horns. And others, less identifiable, including one that resembled a great stag, its antlers a jagged crown. I stared at it as I was hauled past, and thought for a moment that it returned my glare. In my head, something laughed. At the feet of the statues, the celebrants showed their devotion in the ways that suited them. Men and women copulated atop the bloody hides of freshly slaughtered bramble horns, or devoured the creature's raw flesh. Others sharpened primitive ceremonial weapons of stone or bronze. Some danced about ritual fire pits, shaking bone rattles, turning and hopping as if in parody of a wounded animal. A few stopped what they were doing and made as if to snatch me from my captors. But Sepesh saw them off with curses and blows. Her men dragged me in her wake, holding tight to my arms and hair. If I tried to pull away from my captors, I got a swift blow in the ribs. They dragged me into the main courtyard, overlooking the lower gardens. It was open to the elements, a flat, grassy space, marked by a few crooked trees growing from the stonework. Lord Wald awaited us there. He sat at a table, running a whetstone along the length of a single-edged sword. I recognized it as Mern's, the one I'd lost in the swamp. Unlike his followers, he was dressed as before, in furs and robes. A trembling servant held a rainbreak over his head, keeping him from getting wet. Wald looked up as I was shoved to the ground before the table. "Did you know that back before the flood, my ancestors had planted orchards behind the keep? A whole swathe of them, stretching back to the then edges of the swamp. Apples, mostly. There's a sort of little sour apple that grows in the Gulmere. Very tasty, especially when baked. Nice with a bit of good cheese. Like that crumbly sort they make in Headwater Breach. You know the kind I mean." "Not big on cheese," I said, as I dragged myself into a sitting position. "No matter. Get him to his feet." The two men roughly hauled me upright and shoved me forward. Lord Wald went back to sharpening the sword. "I'm told Evrek Mern is dead at last." I said nothing. Lord Wald continued as if I had. "You might ask why this is significant. Mern was one of the last worshippers of the Everqueen left in this canton. Now, at last, it belongs to Kernoth once more." His adherents set up a raucous cheer that set my ears to aching. Lord Wald calmed them with a gesture. He looked at me. "He has always been worshipped here, of course. Even before Sigmar disturbed Alariel's slumber, the old stag roamed these swamps, and his worshippers rejoiced in his bloody reign. They offered up the choicest parts of their own kills to him, and when prey was scarce, they gave up their own flesh and blood to assuage him. And now those beautiful, bloody days are here again." He stood, leaving the sword on the table. He was showing off for his followers. "The Everqueen wanes," he said. "Her season is done. It is time for Kernoth to rise. Not the pale shard of him that Alariel holds leashed, but the true Kernoth, the old stag himself, who slumbers beneath these shadowed waters. We water his seed with blood taken in the hunt, or offered up in sacrifice, so that he might awaken and lead us in a hunt such as the Jade Kingdoms have never seen." At his words, his followers cheered again, wilder this time. More like animal howls than the cries of men. He turned, playing to the crowd. "We feed him so that he grows strong. We glut him, fill him to bursting, and he returns the favor." "What do you get out of it?" I said. Lord Wald stopped and turned to me, frowning at the interruption. "All the eels you can eat?" "Isn't it obvious?" Lord Wald said. He spread his arms. "This canton barely existed before. Now it flourishes. Roughly, crudely, but it grows. It lives. In time, it will grow mighty. And any who seek to interfere, to meddle, will become prey. Mern made himself prey and paid the price. Kernoth demanded it. And we were bound to obey." Lord Wald leaned close. "You helped us with that, of course, for which I am grateful. That is why I was willing to allow you a chance, as a courtesy."
"Meaning?"
"A hunt," Lord Wald said, smiling. "One last hunt, before the harvest ends. But this time the prey will not be some malnourished sneak thief or debtor, but prey worthy of us.
Is that supposed to be a compliment?
I can think of none greater.
I glanced at Sepesh. She fingered the pommel of her sword. She was enjoying herself. I wondered if she was hoping I'd make a play for the sword. I hated to disappoint her.
I can think of a few, I said.
Lord Wald grinned.
I'm sure you can. But prey is meant for the hunt, and you are prey. The god has decreed such.
Funny, he never said anything to me. Even as I spoke, I leapt for the sword. I caught the hilt and flung myself over the top of the table, putting distance between myself and the startled guards. I upended the table and sent it crashing down. Lord Wald applauded politely.
Very good.
I do hope I sharpened it enough for you. He waved the guards back.
The hunt begins now. Escape if you can. We shall harry you to exhaustion and then cut your throat and offer up your heart to the old stag.
Or maybe I'll just kill you. Whatever they'd been expecting, what I did next wasn't it. I went for his lordship, and I saw his eyes widen in startlement. He fell back, and Sepesh intercepted me, her blade against mine. She laughed.
I like you, Haran, I really do. I knew you were something special the moment I saw you.
I glanced around, trying to find an exit route that wasn't blocked by a guard. Plenty of ways out, but I didn't want to go. Something held me in place, held me here. I was a beast at bay, surrounded by hunters. Ready to die, so long as I could take a few of them with me. Only, not really. I didn't want to die. I knew what was waiting for me, if I did.
Do I make good prey, then?
I said, tightening my grip on the sword's hilt.
I don't know. Let's find out, Sepesh said.
We broke apart and she came in quick and low. Old instincts kicked in, and I blocked her first blow. She was surprised, and I leaned into her, driving an elbow into her chest. She fell back, coughing. Wald waved the guards back. Some looked like they were enjoying the show. Others seemed to be wagering on the outcome. Wald himself seemed coolly amused. I wanted nothing more than to bury Mern's sword in his skull. But Sepesh was still between us. She came at me again. This time it wasn't so easy to surprise her. I was no swordsman, and it showed. Her blows came almost too quickly to predict, and soon I was bleeding from a number of nicks and scratches. Each of them a blow that might have killed me, had she wished. Our blades connected with an awkward shriek, and she kicked me in the knee. I fell and narrowly avoided a thrust that might have crippled me. Lord Wald applauded.
Excellent, excellent, he called out.
His coterie had gathered now, filling the space, hemming us in. Someone began to pound a drum. I scrambled to my feet and backed away. Sepesh paced after me, grinning wildly.
You should have run, Haran. You might have lived a little longer.
I've run enough, I panted. My chest was heaving. I was sucking air. I was out of practice, exhausted, running on adrenaline. But I was angry. Sepesh shrugged.
Your choice.
She leapt, and I was hard-pressed to divert her blow. She snatched her poniard from her belt and nearly opened my thigh with it. I was forced to grab her wrist.
I was stronger, but she was ready for it. She stomped on my instep and swung at me, forcing me to interpose my sword. I fell back before her. She was used to fighting men with greater reach, more strength. She was like a wolf wearing down an elk, snapping and tearing, weakening me, pushing me back and back. Worst of all, she was barely panting. If I was going to survive, I needed to surprise her. I glanced to the side. Lord Wald was within reach, watching avidly. I leapt. Sepesh cursed, but she was too far away. Lord Wald cursed too, as I caught him and swung him around, putting him between myself and Sepesh. I laid the edge of my sword against his throat and backed towards the edges of the courtyard. The garden spread out below me, maybe 20 feet down. Not an easy drop, but I'd survived worse.
"Release me,"
Lord Wald said, as he struggled in my grip. I ignored him. If I could make it to the trees, then maybe the town. From there, the road. It sounded simple in my head. The music still rose from below. The celebrants down there hadn't noticed what was going on. Before I could make the jump, Lord Wald slammed an elbow into my midsection and tore himself from my grip.
"Sepesh, kill him!"
I turned and leapt, falling down into the gardens below. I struck one of the statues and buried my sword in its bestial head, briefly anchoring myself. The statue tottered on its plinth, rolling this way and that, before finally toppling into a fire pit. Burning embers scattered across the wet grass, eliciting a shroud of smoke. I rolled across the uneven ground, every bone in my body singing in alarm. But I was on my feet a moment later, muscle memory moving me. The garden was smaller than the courtyard, but crowded with statuary, benches, and ornamental archways. I sought cover as celebrants scattered in surprise. Through the pall of smoke, I saw Sepesh race down the steps to the garden, followed by several guards. Too many to fight. I squinted through the thinning smoke and spotted a set of slabbed steps going down into the dark of the keep's lower levels. My escape route, if I could reach it. I looked around. The garden was in uproar thanks to the smoke and the fallen statue. The appearance of the guards only added to the confusion, as Lord Wald's guests either sought safety or went for their weapons. I heard Sepesh shouting, trying to calm the situation. I put my shoulder against another statue and heaved. It tilted and slammed down, shattering a bench and scattering guards. I darted through them, deeper into the smoke, heading for the steps. A root caught my foot, knocking me to one knee against a pillar. As I stumbled to my feet, I heard a high-pitched laugh. The treekin were watching. I could feel it. Sepesh came at me fast, and I pushed myself away from the pillar. Her blade drew sparks as I lost myself in the smoke. I slid around a statue, heart thudding. Loose stones crunched beneath her feet. She was getting closer. I tried to gauge the distance to the steps. I circled towards where I thought she was. I froze as I spotted the bulky outline of a guard edging towards me, through the smoke. I turned to deal with him, and Sepesh leapt from her hiding place with a wild yell. I barely parried the blow, and lost my sword in the process. I fell back as she recovered and came for me again. I twisted aside as she lunged, and her sword plunged into the bark of a tree, embedding itself. She stepped back, surprised. I caught her a blow on the side of the head while she was distracted, dropping her to her knees. She rose, knife in hand, but by then I had my arm around her throat. I caught the back of her head. Her knife slashed out, becoming tangled in my coat. I felt it gash my stomach, not deep, but enough to hurt. I snapped her neck. The guards reached me as I let her fall. Truncheons thudded into my back and arms, staggering me. I fell back against a statue, trying to twist away from the blows, but to no avail. They hit me again and again until I went down. "Get him up!" The guards jerked me to my feet, none too gently. Everything hurt. But it was better than being dead. Lord Wald looked down at Sepesh, an expression that might have been regret on his face. "She was worth a dozen of you," he said softly. He had Mern's sword in his hand. I didn't say anything. Lord Wald turned his gaze on me. His eyes blazed beast-hot for a moment. "I think we will forego the hunt this time," he said. He raised the sword in both hands, and I closed my eyes. Out in the swamp, something cried out. A wolf-stag shriek. The sound hung on the air, and as I opened my eyes, I saw that the revelers had fallen to their knees. Only Lord Wald still stood, his sword hanging forgotten in his hand. "Kernoth stares," he said. He smiled and looked down at me. "Before the night is done, you might wish you had let Sepesh take your head, Blackwood." He turned to his guards. "Bind him. It is time to offer up the huntsman his due." There was a sound like falling trees or cracking ice. We all turned, captive and captor alike. The ground shuddered as something stepped into the open, shouldering aside the remaining statues and sending them toppling. Men and women scrambled back from the apparition as its great hooves cracked the stones and gouged the earth. "He is here," Lord Wald said. He sank slowly to one knee. "The god has come." The old stag loomed over us, slaver dripping in loose ropes from the almost human jaws. Its gaze bored into me. "Hello, Haran. It seems our hunt has come to an end." Chapter 26. Harvest's End. I wanted to look away, but I couldn't. It held my gaze with ease, forcing me to meet its hellspark eyes. "Here we are, back again, as I said." The sound of its voice was like a knife scraping bone. I knew that I was the only one so blessed as to hear it. Lord Wald and his followers were still singing and chanting, too busy making noise to listen to the object of their prayers. "Why would I speak with them? Of what possible interest is the whimpering of whipped dogs to their master?" "But he'll talk to me." Lord Wald started and looked at me, but he made no attempt to silence me. From the look on his face, I think he suspected. "You are special." I felt revulsion at the word, a twisting in my guts, as if someone had shoved a knife in and stirred it about. "I don't feel special," I said.
"And yet you are an ineffable mystery."
The man face on the stag neck twisted up in a lopsided grin. It was amused. That only made the nausea worse. It stank of standing water and blood, of generations of death. Spite grubs crawled through the cracks in its flesh, and I heard the trilling of leopard eels echoing up from the waters below the gardens.
"Let me know when you figure it out," I said, forcing the words out.
There was no courage in my defiance, only the snarls of an animal in a trap.
"I owned you the moment you entered these swamps, Haran. Your course was set the instant Mern asked for help."
Teeth like shards of burnt wood scraped together, inches from my ear. I couldn't help but flinch.
"Let's have a look at you, then."
It met my gaze, and in that moment, I felt as if I were drowning. It peeled back my skull and looked inside, as if I were nothing more than a dead beast for the harvesting. Would it drink my blood the way it had Mern's?
"Fresh blood is best. Heart's blood, squeezed, steaming from the prey. Or baby's blood, sweet and clean. Girl's blood, pure and honeyed."
I thought of the little geist in Mern's house, of Kala, and felt sick.
"She was sweet, that one. A true delicacy, like you, Haran."
The great tongue, like a lash of corrugated leather, licked across my face, tasting me, tasting the fear that gibbered and snarled down deep in my heart.
"The blood is the life. They know that, my caretakers, my hounds. They've always known. A bit of blood makes the green things grow. A bit of blood to feed me in my respite. Is that so much to ask in return for my blessings?"
"You're not a god," I said, or thought I said. I couldn't tell whether I spoke aloud or only in my head. It didn't seem to matter. The stag thing laughed, a hateful, guttural sound.
"No, but I once was. And I might be again."
It pressed itself close, nostrils cracking and flaring. It sucked in my scent, gulping it up, as if it had never smelled anything so sweet.
"After all, even a wretched seed might grow into a darksome tree."
Teeth like knives scraped down my cheek, opening the skin. Blood welled and spilled. I bit back a scream.
"In time, with the right nourishment."
The lips squirmed, and it made a sound like a geyser as it spat my blood into the water.
"Which you are not."
I blinked. That sounded like a reprieve, or as close as I was going to get.
"What?"
I croaked. It looked down at me, a peculiar expression on its unfinished features. A sound like a sigh emerged from its ragged lips, and it shook its great antlers.
You are not yet ripe. How unfortunate.
I started to laugh as the stag thing stepped back. Lord Wald's face was a picture of shock. What? He began.
You can't give it what you don't have, I said.
I forced myself to my feet, body aching. The stag thing, the shard of Kernoth, snorted and rattled its antlers as if in agreement. I tried not to meet that hellish gaze again. Tried not to see the savage amusement that burned there. I wondered if it was truly as annoyed by this as it seemed. Maybe it had grown tired of Lord Wald's games. Or maybe it was simply fickle, in the way of the Silverneth. Lord Wald bared his teeth.
Stay where you are!
I took a step towards him. He stared at me, a look of incomprehension on his face. He hadn't figured it out yet. He didn't understand, but I did. I wished I didn't, but I did. My soul already belonged to another. The great black stag reared up and loosed a shrill, bugling roar. The manor shook to its foundations, and howls sounded in the distant trees. Pale-faced things emerged from the shadows of the garden, laughing cruelly as they bounded towards us. One of the treekin pounced on a member of Wald's coterie, bearing the screaming man to the ground.
No, our bargain,
Lord Wald began, looking around wildly.
No more bargain, I said.
I drove my shoulder into the nearest guard and knocked him sprawling. As he thrashed, I crushed his throat with my knee and went for his knife. I had just managed to slit my bindings, freeing my hands, when Lord Wald lunged for me, sword raised. I rolled aside and sent the knife hurtling towards him, forcing him to bat it aside. While he was distracted, I went for the guard's sword. I snatched the blade up, and Lord Wald extended his own.
This is wrong, he said, shaking his head. This isn't how it goes.
He looked at me.
Fine, fine. I'll spill your guts at his feet, for him to feast on at his leisure.
He started towards me, eyes glinting with malice. I laughed.
If a god couldn't kill me, what makes you think you've got a chance?
Lord Wald hesitated, and I stamped forward, blade singing out in a wide arc. He parried the blow instinctively, but staggered back, off balance.
Two gods, in fact, I said.
I paced after him, grinning like I was mad. In that moment, I think I was.
Two gods had the chance to end me, and they both decided that they had better things to do, the bastards.
Our blades met with stately grace. I was bigger than him. I hadn't realized it before, and I don't think he had either. I was bigger, and at that moment, I was sure as hell meaner. He went on the defensive, and his eyes flickered this way and that, looking for a way out.
They always do. The prey, I mean. It's a thing of beauty, that look. That desperation makes the meat tough. But I do love it so.
Lord Wald's eyes widened, and I knew he'd heard the whistle-rasp voice. The black stag circled us with slow, plodding steps.
I served you,
he said, desperate now, pleading almost.
I am your huntsman.
What do you take me for, little lord? Some pampered king, in need of servants to do his hunting for him. You were my hound, nothing more. And every dog has its day. Yours has passed. You should be pleased. Is this not a magnificent ending? The hunter slain by the hunted. The circle is complete.
No,
Lord Wald growled.
No.
He lunged wildly and without finesse. I slapped his sword aside and sent him sprawling with a cuff to the back of his head. Up, I said. He writhed in the mud and came up swinging, howling. I tripped him, and the old stag gave a guttural, echoing laugh.
That's the way. That's the way. Let him fight. They always fight.
Shut up, I said, not looking at it. This isn't for your benefit.
How little you know, Haran. How small you are in comparison to me. I could trample your soul into flinders so infinitesimal that not even the undying king could sieve them from the mud.
I ignored it. I kept my eyes fixed on Lord Wald as he struggled upright. He was frothing at the mouth, his eyes starting from their sockets. His body shook as if with ague, and he twitched towards me, trying to hammer me flat with each blow. I retreated, drawing him towards the edge of the garden. He was babbling as he fought, and I wondered if I'd acted the same the day my god abandoned me.
No wonder poor Mern tried to put you down. He probably thought it a mercy.
Shut up, I snarled. Lord Wald charged me, screeching. Our blades locked, and we stumbled back and forth along the garden's edge. Lord Wald's face contorted into something bestial and utterly mad. He champed his teeth, savaging the air. He leaned into me, trapping our blades between us. I turned, hurling him back. I tossed my sword aside as he rose and hit him, hard, in the sternum. Something cracked and he staggered, suddenly white-faced. His sword slipped from his fingers and I caught him by the throat.
It is traditional to spill blood. This isn't for you, I grunted, as his lordship's hands clawed at my forearms. Ah, a personal matter then. Very well, I'll allow it.
I tightened my grip about Lord Wald's neck. His thrashing had become more frantic. I watched as his expression became lucid, and then terrified. That was good. I wanted him to understand what was happening, to know what was coming. This wasn't a fight. It wasn't even an execution. But it was damn satisfying. Eventually, he stopped struggling. Lord Wald stared upwards, blank and empty. I let him go and stepped back, as the old stag dipped its antlers.
For a time, I favored him above all others.
The god-thing retrieved the limp body and lifted it almost gently.
But times change. The seasons turn.
With a flick of its head, it flung the body into the deepest part of the waters below. where the leopard eels waited. They trilled in pleasure, and Lord Wald soon vanished into red foam. The old stag turned its attentions to me.
Well, then.
Well, I said.
What do you plan on doing for an encore, Haran Blackwood?
I spied a bench and went and sat. I'm tired, I said. I looked around. I was the only living man in the garden. All of Lord Wald's companions, the guards, were dead or gone. What was left of them was hung about from the nearby trees and pillars, glistening strands of meat and muscle dangling over the gardens like solstice decorations.
They served you, I said. They still do, though the manner of that service has changed.
I laughed. There was a shrill edge to it. I choked it back.
Yes, so it has. Man tried to stop you. Tried to stop the sacrifices. That's why he called me. We did it before, him and me. He thought we might get lucky a second time.
The only certainty when it comes to luck is that it inevitably runs out.
That'd go for me, too. I looked up at the god thing and felt the ashes of my fear stir. But only a bit. It had all been burned out of me for the moment. The creature seemed to understand, because it gave me an awful smile as it bent over me.
Oh, no, no, no easy end for you, Haran Blackwood. No red moment of mercy in this life or the next. You are destined for a more awesome and hideous end than even such as I can conceive.
I bared my teeth.
I think if you set your mind to it, you could make an end of me here. Why not give it a try?
It laughed, and I wanted to weep.
No. Even damnation pales next to what I see ahead of you. Be glad and rejoice, for not every man earns such a mighty doom.
The black stag swung its antlers away and turned. It gave a great, horrible cry, and the Sylvaneth faded away. As swift as whispers, this place was no longer theirs, but the huntsman's. Maybe it always had been, whatever the Everqueen had hoped. The god thing glanced back at me. Its eyes shone like stars gone feral, and I felt the cold heat of them in the hollow places of my soul. It was smiling, as if privy to some private jest.
When that day comes, you will wish I had devoured you.
And then it was gone. I sat for a time in the rain. I still had Mern's coin, and I looked at it for a while, turning it over. At some point, I dropped it in the water. I didn't bother to search for it. When the sun rose, I left, trying to ignore the geists that followed me. The swamp was full of them. They were everywhere, perched in the trees and staring up at me from beneath the water. Weak things, drawn to the scent of my blood. They knew I was hurt, and so they gathered like carrion birds. The girl was among them. She watched me, her lips wriggling like night crawlers. And Gint was there as well, a tattered shadow of who he had been. His mouth moved. I knew what he was asking, though I couldn't hear him. A game? A game? I looked away. Wald was quiet. No one tried to stop me as I bartered passage on a barge heading upriver. No one seemed to realize what had happened. Maybe nothing had. One lord was as good as another, and the old stag was a familiar master, at least. Either way, I didn't give a damn whether Wald flourished or perished. I'd done what I'd come to do. Mern was dead, and my past with him. The man I had been was dead. Only Harran Blackwood remained. Or so I told myself as I kept my eyes on the trees, watching for any sign of the Silverneth as I left. They kept out of sight, but something that might have been a stag trailed the skiff to Wald's border and watched me as the trees hid all sign of the town from sight. The god thing did not speak to me again. Maybe it had said all it needed to say. When that day comes, you will wish I had devoured you. The words ploughed through me, and I knew that though the harvest was over and the hunt was ended, there was always another harvest and another hunt. That was Dark Harvest, written by Josh Reynolds, read by Jake Urry. This recording is copyrighted to Games Workshop 2019.
Audible hopes you've enjoyed this program.